This is Doug Miller. The word of salvation has gone out and is going out. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back once more with the Bible in hand to speak into this mic and to tell forth the truth of God, His goodness, His mercy, His grace, and His salvation. And we are delighted to have this privilege, and we urge you to come along, to open up your Bibles, look at the 13th chapter of Acts. We got up to verse 26. In fact, read verse 26 a little bit last time. We're going to take it up again at verse 26 of chapter 13. Paul, who is out with Barnabas in Antioch in Pisidia, has stood up in the synagogue and has begun to proclaim Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are going to see, to look again at the rest of some of this sermon of his today. So call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there to as many as we can get to listen. And, of course, as I have told you many times, you are involved with us in this ministry. Whoever you are, if you have an interest in Dialogue, please pray for us. Tell others about us. You are the only advertising people we have. We have no budget for advertising. We just depend on word of mouth. And we would always love to hear from you. Delighted to get letters from people who are out there listening to us, to know that you're there. We would be glad to answer any questions you have and to help you in any way we can, really. So let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again later on at the end of the broadcast. Also, we always give out our email address. It's dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. That's all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. That's for those of you who don't like to write using pencil and paper, and it seems that there are fewer and fewer people who do that nowadays. That's why the Postal Service seems to be in trouble. So at any rate, if you want to email us, or if you would like to pull up our webpage and see what we've got going there, it's dialogueministries.org. .org, not .com. You'll get something else. Okay. If you wish to call and make contact by telephone, you may call us at 405, area code 405-535-9089. That's 535-9089. If you wish to call, you will get a recording, and I'll get back with you. You know, that's how it works when you don't have a secretary on staff. But secretaries cost money, and I don't plan on hiring one. So, okay, here we go. Acts 13, verse 26, we have Paul standing up in the synagogue at Antioch in Pisidia. And it's the Sabbath day. The rulers of the synagogue have said to him, if you have anything to say, get up and say it. And boy, that is, you know, if he has something to say, he has got plenty to say. And he has been saying it, as we saw last time. And let's pick it up at verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, that takes in just about everyone, doesn't it? And I don't know how these Jews felt about it. They generally didn't think too highly of the Gentiles. But Paul puts his message out here much farther than just the people of the stock of Abraham. Whoever fears God, and anyone who is God-fearing, must at some time or another ask himself, herself, the question, what do I do now? How do I make myself acceptable to God? How can I stand before a righteous God and be acceptable to him? How can I get into heaven? And notice, Paul says, this is a word of salvation that is sent to them. And, of course, salvation, when you talk about salvation, you are talking about being saved. And you cannot even think in terms of being saved unless and until you are willing to admit that without salvation, you're lost. This is a terrible state to be in. And the question is, if you recognize your lostness, what do I do now? Well, Paul's got a word here. He says, they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet. Now notice this. Nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled him in condemning him. Now that is an interesting statement, friends. I want you to take a look at what Paul says here. The people at Jerusalem. Now, these guys out here in Pisidia, they are probably, you know, they're out in the diaspora, out in the suburbs or the sticks or wherever they are, and they all look to Jerusalem as being the place where all the good, right, and perfect things are going on. And what do you know? What do we find out here? It's Paul says here, the rulers, the very rulers, they did not know him. And it gets worse than that, friends. Look at what else they didn't know. They did not know the voices of the prophets. And then this strange statement, which I read to them in every Sabbath day. Every Sabbath day, Sabbath after Sabbath, they go in, they sit in the synagogue, they hear the words of the prophets read, they have the word of God, it is open to them, someone stands up and reads, and yet they don't know. They don't really know what's going on here, and because they don't know, they have fulfilled the very words of the prophets, because the prophets said he would be rejected. Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. What a sad commentary. Here are individuals to whom the very law was sent. Here are individuals who have the word of God in hand. And isn't it amazing? You would think in reading this, they would say, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We will do what we can to avoid seeing this prophecy fulfilled. And how are we going to do it? We're going to receive him. We're going to open our arms to him. But because they didn't know their own prophets, they fulfilled these things. They fulfilled them. And he goes on here, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Now, what Paul has done here, in a very brief few words, really, he has proclaimed the gospel to these people. The good news of salvation. And it's all, as you can see here, it's all bound up in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He, wrote Paul to the Corinthians, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's the gospel. And that's what he presents here. And he says here in verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings. how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And I invite you at your leisure to go back and read the second psalm and see what you have there. In fact, let's just pause and go back and look at it ourselves as we are here. Go back to the book of Psalms, and that's one, you know, I never had any trouble finding that. Someone told me when I was a kid, it's in the middle of the Bible, and it is. It is. Look at the second psalm. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And it's real interesting. This word anointed here is the word Messiah, his Christ, if you want to put it into the Greek language. The rulers take counsel against Yahweh and against his Christ, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And of course, just a little farther down, we read these words, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. That's what Paul quoted to the back there in the synagogue, isn't it? Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Look down at the 10th verse of this second psalm. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord, Yahweh, with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him, in whom? In the Son. I think that's about as clear as God can make it. And when you read that, and you see Paul quoting it here, you have to wonder, how did the rulers miss this? How have they failed to see and to understand that Messiah is the Son of God? I don't know how. I don't know what they were expecting. But this is God the Son we are talking about here. And this day I have begotten thee is obviously raised, connected with the resurrection from the dead. Now, do not misunderstand this. Jesus Christ is indeed, and always was throughout eternity, the only begotten Son of the Father. But in the resurrection from the dead, we get something new going on here. We now have a man, a flesh and bone man, raised up out from among the dead ones in immortality and seen of many. Paul said he was seen of many many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. I was talking to a man the other day about the things of the Lord, and this man's not saved. And one of the things that he asked me, you're a believer, what makes you think that this is the truth? Why do you think that I should trust in Jesus? And of course, he didn't believe the Bible was the truth. And if you have someone who doesn't believe that this is a true account, it's kind of hard to convince them otherwise. I talked to him about the resurrection from the dead, a fact that is fairly well established historically, and certainly it was to Paul and these people back here, because many of those who saw him after his resurrection were alive even then. And Paul says they're witnesses unto the people. Here are individuals who had seen him. And I tell you, the man who can predict his own death, burial, and resurrection and come up out of the grave in newness of life and stand immortal before his people, that man needs to be listened to. You cannot push him aside easily. And I told this man this, and he listened. He listened, and I don't think he got saved. But he did say that I had given him something to think about. Now look at verse 34 of this 13th chapter of Acts. "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now, if you've listened to dialogue as we've been going through this book of Acts, you know very well this is not the first time we've seen this one. That's from Psalm 16. And "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And Peter, in his, in his sermon, back in the second chapter of the book of Acts, he says basically what Paul says here. You think David was just talking about himself? Peter said, come on, let's act like we've got good sense here. He didn't use those words exactly, but this is the general idea. He said, David died, he was buried, he saw corruption, his tomb's right here with us right now. You can go up and look at it if you want to see it. And look at this. This is what Paul says. "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption." Now here we have it. Here we have a statement about the sure mercies of David, given, extended to our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one whom God promised to sit eternally, to place eternally upon the throne of David. He shall rule in the Messianic kingdom. He died, he is alive forevermore. And look at what else he says here in verse 38. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, I want you all to look at those verses, verses 38 and 39. This is important. This is important, and this is something that very few people out there seem to know anything about. I'm amazed at the people I talk to who think that somehow they're going to get into heaven by being good. Well, if that's the case, what was the death of Jesus Christ all about anyway? Look at this. Paul says, in so many words, we are out here to talk to you about something. We are preaching the forgiveness of sins. Here is a man who can deal with your sins. He is Jesus Christ our Lord through this man, through and on account of him only. Now, all of you out here who think that you are being justified by keeping God's law, by keeping the Ten Commandments, look at this. You cannot be justified from any of this by the law of Moses. Isn't that what this says here? That's what it says to me. This man that I was talking to, that I talked to about the resurrection, it was an amazing thing. He said, you know, the other day I was talking to my doctor, who happened to be Jewish, and his doctor said, you know, what we believe is it's just a matter of living a good life. Well, here is the problem with that. Are any of you out there foolish enough to think that this man or whoever you're talking about out there is really living a good life? I told this man that I was talking to, I said, look, do you really think that this man was living up to the law of Moses? He's not living up to the law of Moses. Neither is anyone else out there. The law of Moses can only condemn you. In fact, under the law of Moses, there were all kinds of animal sacrifices. There are no animal sacrifices going on now. The Ark of the Covenant, no one even knows where it is. How can you place the blood on the mercy seat when you don't even have the mercy seat? There is no priesthood established right now to do any of the Mosaic law offerings and sacrifices. It's not out there. And there is not one human on this earth who is living by the law of Moses, and they never have, really. That is purely illusion. And Paul nails it right here. You could not be justified from these things by the law of Moses, but by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, this might mean nothing to some people. Those who are convinced that they are good people, I pay my taxes, and I may not be everything that I ought to be, but I'm certainly not as bad as old so-and-so over there. For those who think in those terms, what Paul has just said here in verses 38 and 39 will mean perhaps nothing. But there is such a thing as being under conviction about sin. I know because I've been there. I know what it is to look at yourself and to realize that you are unfit to stand in the presence of God, that there is no way that you could be justified because your whole life is out of kelter. I know what that is. And some of you out there might know it too. Look at this. This is the message of salvation. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I want you to look at that word believe, and I want you to think about it, because that's all there is to it. If you want to say to me, oh, well, there's got to be more to it than that, well, evidently, Paul didn't understand that. Evidently, he thought this was all you had to do. And I am throwing in with him. I am telling you that it is a matter of believing the gospel in your heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, what if you don't? Well, Paul goes on here. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And the fact is that most people who have been privileged to hear this message, the one that we just considered, most of them, I am sorry to tell you, turn away and reject it. At least that's the way it looks to me. I have been at this for many years now, and I don't see people beating a path to my doorstep anyway. Oh, some believe, but, you know, a sower went forth to sow. And when you look, you sow this word out there, and a lot of it falls on bad ground. This is very solemn. He says, beware, lest this come upon you. I wonder who I'm talking to out there today. I just wonder if there is someone out there who has heard this message and who is willing to say, that is me. I believe. I hope so. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.